Good morning. We're glad you're with us today for Church at Home. Every Sunday, we broadcast on Facebook, YouTube, and on our website from the backyard here. We also have a Sunday service live on Sundays at the same time at 10 a.m. We set up chairs. You can bring your lawn chair if you'd like. You can put them as far away from other people as you care to. There's lots of shade. You can hear from anywhere, you can see from anywhere, and it's a great time together if you choose to join us soon. One thing I do know through all this is whether you meet with us online or whether you meet with us in person, that God is still God and His presence still meets us wherever we are, just as long as we posture our hearts to hear from Him. One thing that is unfortunate when I do church at home is that Jaden will often attack me with different things. And today, if you look at my back, it's wet from his water gun. So if you get bored during the broadcast, just be watching up there, because he sneaks up and he's been shooting me with the water gun. So that's the only thing. I don't have to deal with that in person. Now, I'm not saying you should bring your water guns to church and shoot me, but it would make me feel more at home. I want to ask you guys all a question today. Have you ever gone to a movie or watched a nail biter movie where you just don't know what's going to happen next? My wife, Cynthia would never watch one like this because she gets so afraid. She'll get afraid in a cartoon. She'll get afraid in Toy Story and not sure what's going to happen next. Have you ever thought, I don't like this feeling, I'm going to just fast forward and see how this all ends? Whether it's what you want to happen or not, if you do that, it's done. You see the final act, the final scene, and at least now you don't have to wonder and you don't have to be tensed up. You can relax. My son Noah would never do this. He's got to watch a movie all the way through, but maybe you would do this. Now, I probably wouldn't fast forward through a movie because I don't want to miss how it built up to the resolution. I don't want to miss the plot of the movie. But there are times that, have you ever thought you want to fast forward your life? Like right now, like during this time? One easy thing about preaching is that all of us at least have one thing in common right now, and that is that we're all going through the same thing together. We have lots of other specifics that we are also going through, but we are all going through this pandemic together, something that's never happened before. And maybe you would call this your life a nail biter right now. Maybe you would call your life more of a horror movie right now. Maybe you would just call all of this a comedy and you just can't believe it's happening to you. But you got to have moments where you like to just fast forward and see how this all ends. Well, we're at the concluding message in a series called Surrounded, and the title of my message today is Outcome. Everybody say outcome. Everybody put in the comments outcome. That's what we're going to be talking about. How does this all end? What is the outcome? Could you pray with me as we begin? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful weather, and we must admit we wonder. We wonder what is going on. Sometimes we wonder about the goodness of God. We don't understand all of this. We ask the question, what is the outcome of this movie? Maybe some of us would call this a nightmare that we've been going through. Lord, help us to see with your eyes and help us to cooperate with you, whether we understand or not. Lord, I pray that you would bring fresh vision and perspective to everyone watching today, that they would not leave here without being encouraged and seeing a glimpse of who you are causing them to become through all of this. We love you, Jesus, and we pray that you help us to keep our ears attentive to what you want to say to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me make a confession to you all today, and that is this, that there are times when I go to the movies, I haven't been in a long, long time to the movies, but when I'm waiting for another movie and I'm early, I sneak into another theater just to see what the movie is about, what the gist of it is, what the feeling is, to see if maybe I want to go see that movie. I know I shouldn't, but I've done it, and inevitably it seems that when I go in, it's right at the part, the climax, where the resolution is being unraveled right in front of me, which makes me not ever want to go see the movie, because it ruined it, because I saw how it ends. I saw the outcome. It serves me right for sneaking into another theater. But do you ever wish you could sneak into the end of your story? Do you ever wish you could sneak in, just see a glimpse of how yours ends? And maybe that's a little bit fatalistic to look at how it ends, but maybe you want to see the next chapter. Maybe you just want to look at, get a glimpse at the sequel of your story. What will the outcome, I wonder, be of 2020? What will we be doing in August of 2021? What will it look like? I wish we could see. Abraham was fortunate enough to sneak into a bit of his life's sequel. He snuck in and got a glimpse, and often when we're in connection with God, God will do this for us. And he, Genesis chapter 17, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible that talks about the covenant God made with his people. He says this, and I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version, something I don't usually do, but I just like the way it said it. Abraham was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God all-powerful. If you obey me and always do right, I'll keep my promise, my solemn promise to you, and give you more descendants than can be counted." And then he goes on for about 16 verses explaining in detail this blessing. And down in verse 17, it says, Abraham dropped to the floor. He bowed his face to the ground and said, "What? Wait, I am almost 100 years old. How can I ever be a father, for one thing? And Sarah's 90. How can she have a child?" And he started laughing. Abraham laughed himself right out of that theater, because when God prophesies to us, when he speaks revelation or speaks wisdom, insight into our lives, it's hard to believe his goodness. Listen, my brothers and sisters, be encouraged, because when this climax concludes, and I'm talking about our lives, when this sequel premieres, 2021 will not come and go without leading to greater revival in you. Did you hear me? Amen? Say amen. 2021 will not come and go without leading to greater revival in you. God will pour out his spirit on you. Let me tell you, because God will never waste your screenplay. If you commit to following God, you in the pandemic of 2020 will never be a movie, a story that goes straight to DVD because it was a box office bomb. Let me say it very plainly. Jesus loves you too much to let this season come and go without bringing a redeeming outcome. He loves you too much to let the season come and go without bringing a redeeming outcome. Everybody say outcome. Everybody write it in the comments. You're listening. Outcomes. Outcomes are what everything else hinges on. Fatus would call our outcome the aftermath. Scientists would call the outcome their calculations. Politicians might call the outcome projections. Jesus, I think, would call the outcome fruit. We will be back in just a minute to look at three outcomes of all of this.
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles.
Okay, we are back. And you might be asking, well, what is going on around us? What is going to be the outcome of all of this? Well, I have some answers for you today. And Paul started a letter to the Philippines, to the Philippians, sorry, while they were going through some very trying times like this. And I think it's the same way he would start a letter to us, because we are going through some very trying times. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't believe we're exactly at the day of Jesus Christ where he's coming back for us, but it will be here soon. Outcome number one, new wineskins. Write that down. Outcome number one, new wineskins. Can I tell you, right along with 2020 came the Holy Spirit's refining fire, and it is purifying his church. We may not see that with our physical eyes, but in the spiritual realm, there is some purifying going on. I see a church arising out of these ashes with the first outcome, new wineskins. I see in the middle of a pile of complaints on the desk of 2020, Jesus, the carpenter, smoothing rough edges and sanding splinters out of our immaturity. Speaking of immaturity, I just got sprayed again. I had to move just a little bit and bring some encouraging words to my son. Zechariah 13:9 says this, "This third," he was talking about a third of the people, "I will put into the fire." This is a good verse, but it's also not so good, because it's talking about fire. "I will put into the fire, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God." Last week, Cynthia and I went on a walk, and we didn't know where we were going on this particular walk. And we were planning to call our kids and have them pick us up, because we weren't going to go, we weren't going to do a round trip. We were just going to go one way. And about 4 miles in, we discovered that our phone, the only phone we brought, was out of battery. So we couldn't even call if we wanted to. And we kept walking. And before we knew it, we were at our kids' school, Colorado Springs Christian School. We had walked all the way there. It was about, I think, a 7 mile walk. And we borrowed their phone there and we had them come and pick us up. But the next morning, my legs were so sore when I got out of bed. And it reminded me of something that fitness guys do, because I'm a fitness guy, of course, and they call it muscle confusion. The fitness instructors will confuse the muscles by doing different things. And that's exactly what happened to my muscles, because I was not used to walking that far. This pandemic has certainly confused our worship, and I think Jesus would God would say to us, I haven't missed church through all of this. I've just moved it. It's just found in different places in our lives, and hopefully we have church more often. And during these times, he is spiritually bringing muscle confusion, so that one of our outcomes will be new wineskins. Outcome number two, new wine. I prophesy that something from Joel 2. It is a prophecy that was for the land of Judah, but if you study it out, it's also applied to the latter days before the second coming of Jesus. I wonder when that would be, the latter days before the coming of Jesus. Joel chapter 2 says, the threshing floors, verse 24, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. I've seen this quoted many times over the last month, this prophecy, I will restore to you. And I really believe that God will do that. I don't believe that it's going to be all roses and raindrops. I don't know if that's a real saying, but I do believe that God will restore to us many things that we have lost. Verse 25, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Verse 27, then you shall know that I am in the midst of you. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Skip down to 28, and it shall come to pass after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. Who wants that? Who wants to see that? I believe new wine is being poured out on his church and on people who follow Christ. The prophecy was in the midst of terrible days. They were in terrible days there in Judah. And I'm not saying that we're in days that aren't terrible. This is can certainly be considered a tragedy. But in the midst of it, in the crushing, crush the grapes, there is new wine. In fact, verse 24 says, the vats shall overflow with new wine and new oil. A friend of mine wrote on his email this week something that I'd like to share with you. The way he calls this season where new wine is being poured out. He says this, seeing the masks and the restrictions around us, this seems to be a season of exile in a way. Exile has its purpose, like pain, like death. Suffering is part of life, and it's better if we're honest about it. Sweeping it under the rug does more harm. Some of the best psalms, best prophecies, best music, best writing, heck, half the New Testament was written in exile. It's a hard place, but a fruitful one. What is going on? What is the outcome of all of this? New wineskins, new wine, and thirdly, a new attitude. Where do I find a new attitude? Well, a great place to go is to the Beatitudes. It is a set of sermons, teachings that Jesus shared from a mountain. No one's sure exactly which mountain it was on, but it led eventually to his arrest because they were so hard-hitting and so controversial. Jesus is always calling us to more, to deeper, to more radical obedience to him. And the one that I specifically see coming out of this pandemic in us, the new attitude, is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Like, we all kind of agree with that. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Can I ask you a question today? Where do we see in the church at large, even at New Song Church, where do we see love your neighbor? I wish it wasn't so hard to see. None of us are perfect, and love your neighbor is tough to do. I want to ask another question. Where do we see in the church love your enemy? Enemies translated are those against you, those who oppose you, your opponents. And can I say that never before have we seen more clear-cut opponents in the world around us. No matter where you stand on anything, we all know who our opponents are. We are in a climate where there has never been more obvious enemies around us. We all could list, oh, these are our enemies right now. Just look for 1 minute at the television, at the news, at talk shows. Just look for 1 minute in the newspaper. Look for 1 minute on your social media feed, and you'll see that we all have enemies. We all have opponents. I see people everywhere despising, sometimes even hating, sometimes even wanting violence done upon those who oppose what they believe. And there is certainly a responsibility we have to proclaim truth. But we proclaim it with grace, and we show it out in our lifestyle of love. Jesus, right here in Matthew 5, is leveling the playing field with this stark, contrasting way of living. Basically, he's saying, if you are forgiven, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, then a defining characteristic of people that love Jesus is that if you perceive someone as your opponent, if you even perceive them that way, you're not sure if they are or not, but if you perceive them as your opponent, you love them. A new attitude, a new outcome that is coming out of this is that he is giving us a new attitude. One version says it like this: do something wonderful for those who hate you. When was the last time someone did something mean to you or said something against you or one of your friends and you sent them money? You just said, hey, I want to bless you. Here you go. I want to encourage you in whatever your endeavors are. I want to do something wonderful for you. When was the last time someone opposed you and you blessed them? The Message version says it like this: let your enemy, when they do something mean to you, bring out the worst in you. No, bring out the best in you. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer. Not just, oh, bless them, Lord, I pray for them because they're a jerk. No, pray blessing on them with the right heart, not just because you hear it. I think sometimes we pray, oh, I'll pray for them, and there is nothing in your heart that shows compassion or care for where they are at, what they are feeling. Can you imagine how that person is feeling? No, I don't care to imagine, but I'll pray for them. Lord, bless them. I think we sometimes give it one of those. It goes on to say in the Message version, if you simply say hello to those who greet you, those who are nice to you, if you simply love those who are easy to love, do you expect a medal for that? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying, verse 48, is grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. Gotta think, what if every Christ follower in the United States of America shifted from just, I'll love those who love me, to the attitude, I will truly, from my heart, not just for show, not just to look good, but I will truly love my enemies. I will show favor on them, generosity towards them. I'll treat those who treat me unfairly and say things that I oppose, I will treat them right. I will treat them wonderfully. We know what to outgrow. Yes, we know what to outgrow. We know that God is with us when we are outnumbered. That is not as hard to accept. Now, what is the outcome of all of this? New wineskins, new wine, new attitudes. Ask yourself this, is Jesus rebuilding his church through all of this? Is he refining his church? Let me tell you, he never wastes an opportunity. Jesus loves us too much to let this season come and go without bringing redeeming outcomes in our lives, in the church's life. What would you see if you snuck into another theater and took a sneak peek at tomorrow? I don't believe you're going to find Armageddon yet. I think you're going to see a glimpse of something that looks impossible to do. Having a church that loves their enemies. Seeing church people with lots of splinters being refined. Seeing church people full of fruitfulness and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I think the outcome, what we're going to see on the other side of this season. It seems impossible. I know it does. It seems impossible. God makes the impossible possible. And that's why I think we can't fast forward out of this. We can't skip ahead and see the outcome early. Because we got to walk through the plot. We got to walk through this resolution. We got to walk through this conclusion. We got to walk through the revelations that God is giving us. We got to walk through the maturity that God is building, the wisdom that he is putting inside of us. So can you say this with me today? Lord Jesus, I submit to this process of refining. I respond to your call for repentance and prayer and fasting and turning from our wicked ways and turning from our addictions and giving up our hang-ups. Lord, I want to be pure in your sight. Refine me. Refine me. And let me not stand in the way or try to skip ahead as you prepare your church, your bride, to be without spot or wrinkle, to be Christ-like in these last days. Lord, let me not stand in the way of what you are doing in us. Let me tell you, as we close today, when someone arrested and whipped and crucified Jesus, Jesus said with love in his eyes, I forgive you. They were certainly his enemies, and he said to them, this blood is for you. He did not cuss at them. He did not curse them. He did not judge them or take revenge. He just loved them. I believe this is the kind of church that Jesus dreams of us being. I believe this is the kind of church we all want to be, one with new wineskins, new wine, new attitudes. This is the outcome. God is working in us through this season. Have a blessed day. May God be with you.